Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians are four little books that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to, but there is a whole lot of understanding in here. If you slow down and listen to what it says. So that's the route we're taking over the next course of months till we finish this study. But I'll read chapter 1 of Galatians to start with. Starts out verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you other than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if any man preach another gospel to you other than that you have received, let him be accursed. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now let's go back and take a look at it. Small chapters, but good stuff in it. Starting out with, what's the word Galatian mean?
White.
White or righteous. Okay, so who's he talking to? He's not talking to the unbelievers, is he? This book wasn't written to everybody on the face of the earth. He was talking to people that were already in the realm of trying to trust God and coming out of the religion of the Jewish nation, correct? These weren't Jews he was talking. They might have been born a natural Jew, but we're talking about spiritual people here, right? The righteous ones, the white ones. Not talking about race, talking about purity in the mind. But it starts off, he says, Paul, which means small, right? He's compared with Saul of the Old Testament, okay? How he went through his name change and everything from Saul to Paul. He's an apostle. And an apostle means an ambassador of God of good news. Okay? He's an ambassador of good news. Neither by man or through humanity, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are in union with me, is what I should say. The word with literally there says that are in union with me. So if we're on the same page thinking, what's that mean? We're in union with him, on the same page in our minds. To the churches, or the people called out of Galatia, the ones called of righteousness. They called of righteousness, not called by doctrines and names and all this stuff, but called by the righteousness of God. So if you're called by the righteousness of God, what are you? Huh? You're righteous. You're right. If God calls you by righteousness, then what are you? And it says, by Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave himself for our sin, and there's not sin plural. Okay? There's only one sin, and that's not believing who you are, not believing God. Anything else doesn't mean. If you don't believe God, then nothing after that makes any difference. Does it? It's only one. Just disbelief. That he might deliver us. And to cross out that word might, because that's an added word, and it's a doubt word, isn't it? King James is good about adding doubt words. Maybe, should, yeah. That he deliver us. So he died that maybe we would, or he died that he would deliver us. See, he died that we'd be delivered from this present evil, not world, but age. The word world we live on, this earth we live on, we call the world, is not evil. It's the thought processes. It's the thinking of people that live here. The earth is not evil. God's not destroying the earth we walk on, the earth we are. This earth we're made from. It's the one that's got to be changed. According to the will of God, right? I got to see my writing here. Sometimes I get real weak in my writing. Okay. But anyway, to God, even our Father. Okay. So he's the one that's in control of all things. It's his will. It's his plans and purposes that will prevail. Is that not true? So it's not about what we want. Although there's things I'd like to see, but I know I'll never see them because they're not my Father's will. So what do I got to do with them?
Don't worry about
Just discard them. Let them go. You know, I can't change it. So me worrying about not getting what I want, it's just like a little kid throwing a temper tantrum, isn't it? Same principle. I'm being rebellious to my Father. And who's going to benefit from it?
Nobody.
You're not going to change God's mind by throwing temper tantrums. If children would really know that they can't change anything by throwing a temper tantrum, how long do you think they'd do it? But see, parents reinforce because they don't want to hear the temper tantrum and they don't want to take responsibility of changing it and stopping it, so they let it go. So the kid learns, I can get what I want by throwing a temper tantrum. See, so there's a big problem. And I don't totally blame the parents, because the court systems has taken the authority away from the parent to be a parent. So it's pretty wicked out there. And that's in the thinking process. And verse 5 says, to whom be glory into the age of ages. Amen. Now we're going to get started. He said, I marvel because you are so soon or so quickly removed. And the word removed here literally doesn't say removed, but deserting.
Yeah.
What's that, deserting? Okay, should say deserting. I can't hear you. Yeah. But the Greek here really points to deserting. How quickly you desert, okay, from him that called you into the grace of Christ, okay, into another gospel. Okay? So, and that word another literally is a different gospel. Okay? King James, you know, doesn't do real good with his language, but that's okay. We know we can get straightened out. The God inside of us can straighten out anything man messes up. So we're not going to panic about it. verse 7, which is not another, it's different, but not another, but there be some that trouble, or literally the word is agitate you, or they perplex the mind with doubt, or they strike one's spirit with fear, or they cause an inward commotion, or take away the calmness of the mind or your peace. There's people that do those things.
Confusion.
See, and that's what he's talking about. Under that word pervert covers all that. Okay? Not pervert, but under the trouble, the word trouble. The ones that trouble you. Those are the things that they do. When people come and bring condemnation and guilt to you, those are the things that's happening, but that's not the gospel that God preached to us, not the one Paul preached to us.
And it blows you away because the people keep going back and back and back and back, and they say, it must be good because I don't understand it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
rather than try to understand it, they just say, it must be good. You know why? Because of the pride in them won't let them tell people, I don't understand it. Or you haven't got enough guts to stand up and say, you're telling me this, but can you show me where you got it? Sure, it's the easy way. They don't want to conflict. They don't want to cause any conflict because they've been taught that confrontation is bad. Confrontation is one of the most healthy things there is if it's done in the right spirit. To confront something, if someone's trying to teach you, and everybody knows comes around here, you have the right to confront anything I'm saying. There's no issue with that. If you think something's wrong, let's talk about it, and we'll find out which one's right. Well, most people aren't seeking the truth because they've been told they already got it. You're already perfect.
It's harder to go and study.
Sure it is.
Prove the worker that they need not be ashamed of actually handling the work.
Yep, and see, they're not handling anything.
They just swallow it whole like an animal. And mm-hmm. It is what, you know, they don't even try.
Sure, it's easy that way, and that's the way humanity is. Human creatures are lazy by nature. I mean, it's, to do it the easy way is the best way that the human creature does, or the human beast does. So, I mean, that's just the nature of humanity. Okay? I didn't finish that, did you? Okay, after the word trouble, all those things we just spoke about, the perplexing the mind with doubt, striking the spirit with fear, or causing inward confusion, or taking away the calmness of your mind or your peace, and would or desires to pervert or corrupt or distort the gospel of Christ. Which one are they trying to distort? The gospel of Christ. See? The good news is what they're trying to pervert. They're trying to make it work the way best for them. If the church world truly, if the church world today, the man's religious system that they have all over the world, if they would stand up and tell everybody, hey, look, there is no devil, there is no hell, there's only God. How many people would be in church next Sunday?
Not many.
Keep them scared.
That's exactly what they believe. See, so they have to create an opposition. The only opposition that you ever have in your life is the one you look at in the morning when you get up and go to the bathroom in that mirror. That's the only opposition you have. Every time you see the words adversaries plural or enemies plural, you look in the language, they're singular, and it tells you something. In the original, they knew there's only one. There's only one adversary for me, and that's in here. It's my own mind, my own thinking. I am my own worst enemy. I'm my only enemy. See? If you can get a hold of that, that'll help you. Okay, verse 8. But if we, or an angel, or a messenger from heaven, preach or declare any other gospel beyond or... Let me see how it says that. Or opposed to the gospel we preached to you, let him be what? Well, literally, it's excommunicated, what the language actually says. It means let him be set off aside. We don't need that.
That's if, what you should desert from.
Get away from, yeah. Yeah. You don't need to stay there. And you know, once you've been in these church realms, and we've all been there sometime in our life, everybody gets usually go through that realm, they teach you, beware of anybody that preaches another gospel than what we preach. And they say what we preach is exactly what Paul's talking about. But they're the very ones Paul's talking about in the negative.
They don't want to find out anything else.
And if you go possibly talk to anyone about anything else, guess what? Oh, you're going to be accursed. You're going to be excommunicated. No, they're threatening you. Why did God say in the Old Testament, I will never leave you nor forsake you? If he was worried about me having to have a group of people around me to make me whole, then I'd be concerned. We're complete in Him. That's what the book says. We are complete in Him. See? So if I know who I am, and I know I'm related to my Father, I know how I'm related to my Father, I understand this understanding. If I understand what I know, guess what? I don't have to have anybody else. I got Him. Is that right? All you have to have is Him. It's not about big crowds of people for security. No. That's that herd mentality Lisa mentioned a while ago. If you're in the herd, I got a better chance of making it than if I stay out on my own.
Their mind becomes so feeble, though.
Well, they never use it. See? You never use your defense mechanism that's naturally put in you to think, not trust people throwing everything at you as being the truth. You'll lose all sense of what's around you. You won't be aware of what's going on around you. You'll be gullible. You'll just bite and swallow everything they throw out because that's what everybody else is doing. And I certainly don't want to be standing out in the crowd, do I?
Bring that up to someone to say, you know, didn't you ever ask your pastor? Oh, I
can't do that. Oh, couldn't do that.
Got your rock in the wilderness.
Hey, I know people that have, you know, I know ministers that have said it many times. I've heard them say it. Don't get anybody near me before I preach because I don't want to be defiled. If I thought someone coming up to talk to me could defile me, I'd say I was pretty well already defiled, wouldn't you?
Yeah, pretty self-righteous.
Especially Stephen bringing that whole thing up here of killing zombies before
you started. Yeah, you know, he was cats.
Oh, he's killing cats.
No, cats was killing something else. I don't know, whatever it was. But anyway, people think that they think they're so superior to someone else. Could you imagine one of the disciples or Jesus himself saying those things? Could you imagine that? Saying, oh, don't get near me, you'll defile me. I'm going to preach to the multitudes here and change the world, but don't get close to me, you'll defile me.
Sinners, those sick, the doctor.
That's exactly what he said. But see, that don't mean that. See, to them, that don't mean that. That's somebody else. Yeah. It's always somebody else.
Doesn't that fall into that perversion?
It's perversion, but that's where it's at. So, what we have to realize in verse 8, he turns around in verse 9 and he said, "As we said before, so say now again." He said the same thing over. Let them be accursed if they preach anything other than what we've already told you. So, didn't Jesus say, I'm the same today, yesterday, today, and forever? But He's not changing, so neither is His Word changing. Right? Now, so all these denominations that come up with things that they think are better than what He already put down, I'd say that would be the change, wouldn't it? That would be the other one. So, you don't have to worry about that. If you know the truth, what will it do? It'll set you free. And it'll make some other people around you pretty upset.
Yep.
That's okay. There, had a guy say something to me the other day about being controversial, me being controversial, and I said, I try not to be controversial, but I can't help it. I've been made controversial. Can I help it? Can a dog help it because he's a dog? Can a cat help it because they're a cat? Can a person help it because they are tall or short or fat or skinny or anything, you know, bald-headed, long hair, or whatever? People can't help what they are. That's the way they were created. So be what you be, right? Be who you be all the time. Just be yourself. People don't like it, they can leave, walk away, whatever they want to do.
And they have.
And that's okay. I can handle that. Okay, we're down to verse 10. Because do I now persuade men, and the word persuade there is not really what it should say. That surprise you? it should say this, because do I now listen to or obey or yield to men or to God? Who are we trying to please here?
Right. My Amplified says, do I want the approval of men or of God?
Same thought, isn't it? It's close enough to be the same thing. So who are we trying to please in our life?
Should be God.
See, number one. We had some people here one time. I think we was having a fish fry, and this lady came from a distance, and she said, my husband don't like me to do this or that. And her husband was standing right beside me out there by the carport out there. And I said, well, I'll tell you this, with your husband standing right there looking at me. I said, if he tells you not to do something, and but you know that God wants you to do it, what you ought to do is exactly what God wants and tell him he can stand in line and get at it later. Because he's not as important as God is in your life. And I said, I'd tell that to anybody. To my wife, if I said something and she said God told her something else, she should be doing what God told her, not what I said to her. I'm not her boss, am I? Okay. So, but people don't like that. But I can't help it. That's the truth. And I'm not afraid to say the truth. I know it gets me in trouble, but that's okay. I can handle it. He said he wouldn't give you anything you couldn't bear, right? So evidently I can bear it. Or do I seek to please men, because if I still, okay, please humanity, I should not be the servant of Christ or the love slave of Christ, the doulos, the love slave of Christ. I'm not serving God or Christ if I'm still serving humanity, if I'm concerned about what they think about me. I know you've all heard me say, what people think about me is none of my business, and it's not. What my Father thinks about me, I already know, and that seals the deal. Right there. I know my Father loves me, so I don't have to worry about anything beyond that point. Verse 11, but I certify, or I make it known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man or humanity. And see, there's the way you tell the difference between people. I've been accused of everything. Building my own kingdom, preaching everything that's about me. Well, there's nothing about me in what I preach. Is there? Everything is about the Christ. It's about my Father. See, it's not about me. It's not about making money. It's not about being famous, because if I'm trying to get famous, I'm sure going on the wrong way around. I'm going the back door somewhere. I don't know. Because there ain't nothing making people happy about what I'm saying. There's a few people that is, because they have ears to hear. Huh?
Less than or equal to
1%. Yeah, there you go. That's okay. See, I'm all right with that. As long as I do what my Father tells me, if I'm obedient, what else matters?
Nothing.
The only thing God asks out of anyone on the face of this earth is to be obedient. That's all he asks from us. But I don't want your sacrifice, I want your obedience. It's that simple. But man has really learned how to complicate it. Verse 12, because I neither received it by humanity, neither was I taught it, but how? Through the revelation or the unveiling or the uncovering of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The way I learned what I learned was what was unveiled. And where was it veiled at?
Inside.
Right inside of my mind. And God opened doors. He opened what endos, whatever. I don't know what opened up there, how all that little stuff in your head works. But God opened up channels in my mind that I could see things that I had never seen before. And it's the same thing He'll do to anybody else that He wants you to know. It's not by me telling you. And I've told people for years, I can't teach you anything, but I can help you remember. That's the best I can do. If God wrote it in there, I can help you remember it. If it ain't ready for you yet, then just put it on a shelf and forget about it till time. Don't worry about it. But it's not about me. It's about the Christ in you. And every human being has that same pattern. Because we all came from Adam, and God put His breath in him, His spirit in him. Guess what? With His spirit in Adam, then everything that came from Adam, and that's every human being on the face of the earth now, has that same pattern, God in them. They're not aware of it, just like we weren't aware of it 50, 60 years ago, were we?
Did we come from Adam?
Our spirit came from God, but our body came through Adam, through the natural man.
The Elohim.
The Elohim created it, sure.
Clarifying. Just clarifying that in my mind.
That's okay. We encourage that. Okay. No, my natural man came from Adam, but my spirit, I was created in God, just like all the rest of everybody else was.
Just like you were saying, the unveiling, that seed was already imparted into you.
At the very moment of conception.
Right, and then when the unveiling came, that's when the revelation was birthed.
The revelation started when he started pulling back the veil for me to see the things that I see.
As a woman gives birth to a child.
Same thing. Okay, verse 13. Because you have heard of my conversation or my behavior or my conduct. Okay? You've heard of it in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure or beyond all others, I persecuted the church of God and ravaged it. And he did.
See, that's what they're looking at. They're still seeing that Paul.
They're seeing the old Paul. People today still see the old Paul. Or the old Dave, or the old anybody else, the old Lloyds, or Lisa's, or anybody, or Lois's. See? But here's the thing, I can't live in the realm that they see me. If they want to misjudge me, that's perfectly fine.
I'm an illusion.
Right. But I'm saying, just because someone says, well, that's the way you've always been. No, I'm not what I was. The way you see me today, I wasn't this way yesterday. And tomorrow I hope to be different again. Okay? I'm going to be closer to what I'm supposed to be. You go back 20, 30 years ago, I'm not that person.
Thank God.
Yeah, you better believe it. I thank God too. I wouldn't be alive. But I'm saying we're not, but people still want to judge us who we were. I married a gentleman, his wife, and she worked with Lois, and this man's sister I went to school with, and when he told his sister that he was getting married, she was going to come to me. He said, you'll never guess who's marrying us. And she said, who? And she said, Dave Field. Said, the one I went to school with? She said, there ain't no way. I gotta come just to see that, you know. That's okay. See, but they were still seeing me that way, the way they saw me 40 years ago. They think I'm still there. I saw some people just recently that used to fellowship with us, and this woman said, you know, I've always loved the fact that you're controversial. You always kept us, stretching us, you know, but they quit coming some time ago. And I said, you know what? If you think I was controversial then, you ought to see me now. Because I've not stopped, you know, and I've went on, and in the last 10 years, there's been some major changes in the way I think, in the way I do things. And there should be, shouldn't there? It'd be a constant changing. I said, so, you know, if you thought you like that, I said, you ought to try it. She won't. I know that. That's all right. Maybe they might go back around and listen to something on the website, but they won't listen to what's being said now. No. Yep. They won't listen to it. Okay, verse 14. He said, he ravaged everything. And he said, and he, verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. Now, let me tell you what this really says. It doesn't say, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal. Here's what it should say. I advanced in the Jews' religion, not above, but beyond many of the same age. Is that what it says? What translation is that? Okay. New King James, New American Standard, both of them, usually are pretty good in it. In my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions, and that word tradition is not totally right, it's only half right. There's another word that goes with it, the ancestral traditions of my fathers. Mark 7:13 says what? You make the word of God of none effect through your traditions. And Paul's telling you right there, he was more zealous than anyone in his traditions. 7:13. There's a couple other places that said too, but that's just one. But when it pleased God who separated, and the word separated wasn't right. It should say appointed. He appointed me from my mother's womb. That means from the moment of conception, or his, when he came forth in birth, he had an appointment. He was an apostle right then. He was already sent on a mission from the time he was birthed. Okay? People don't believe that.
And we should say that also.
Huh?
We should say that.
Absolutely. We have a mission. From the time we came forth on this world, we had a mission.
See, God was in control whenever he was still persecuting.
Sure. He knew what he was doing.
The whole time.
Every bit of it. And then probably say, well, why didn't he stop it? God had a purpose, and his ways are far above our ways. His way of thinking is far beyond our way of thinking. He knows what's going to bring about what we need. So don't worry about that. This verse 15, but when it pleased God who appointed me from my mother's womb and called me through his what? How did he call him? By his divine influence in his heart and a reflection of that into his lifestyle. So God began to work in Paul's life. And a lot of people think, well, when did God work in Paul's life?
When he was conceived.
Well, no, wait. I'm saying, when do most people think God was working on Paul?
On
the road to Damascus. See, not back there, but I can show you he was working his life when Stephen, in the book of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned to death, Paul was holding the coats of the men stoning him to death, and Paul was consenting unto his death, but God was working on him right then. He saw a man who said, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. I am saying that, but I'm saying it started manifesting it in Paul's life even there. Yeah, he saw it then. He got to see something there. It wasn't the conversion there, but it was part of the conversion of Saul.
If you think about when he was talking about being so zealous in the Judaism, mm-hmm. and he was seeing that...
All he did is flip his page and he saw the other side of the page.
Wow, that wasn't it.
No, he saw how wrong it was. All the condemnation and guilt and insufficiencies that were built into the law. You know, the law wasn't perfect. If it had been, there would have been no reason for anything else, would there?
Then you have to see one side. If I wanted...
Paul said, I said, if I didn't know to lust,
yeah.
then I would have never changed. I'd still be lusting if I didn't know lusting was wrong. You know, all the things that we do, if we don't get to see both sides of the coin, how do we ever find the truth? See? It said, it called me through his grace to what? To reveal or to uncover his son, where?
In me.
In me. He called you with that divine influence in your heart for the very reason of this, to uncover the Christ in you. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, the revealing of the Christ in you.
And some people think they're going to ask for it.
In order that I preach him in the heathen. See? And here everybody's saying, and I don't think it's the right concept what they're trying to say. They say, preach among the heathen. That means he goes over and stands around a bunch of people that they consider heathen, and he begins preaching the gospel, spouting off scripture. That's not what I don't think he's talking about. He said preaching, and that word, get back to it, among, is the Greek word en, which means I in. Preaching in, get back to where I'm looking at again, that I preach him in, preach Christ in the Gentile. That's the mystery, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, he is the glory.
He
was telling the Gentiles, you've got God in you just like everybody else.
He was letting the grace do its thing.
He was letting the grace do his thing, but he said he was telling them it was in you. He was telling the Gentile, you got the same thing that you've got, but you probably got a better shot because you don't have all that religion wrapped up around your head.
Yep.
And didn't the original olive branch get cut off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's a lot of people that they try to think that everything comes out of the language of this book. How do you know when you open up Strong's Concordance or any of these other books that we use to study the Greek and Hebrew, how do you know when there's 35 or 40 or 50 different words there for that one word, the way it's been translated, how do you know which one's right?
Led by the Spirit.
Well, see, they don't understand that. They think, well, you got to know there's a pattern. You just tell you what it is. No, you've got to listen to the Spirit of God. And you can't just get it all out of a book.
And it might not be right there when you're listening.
No, it might be later down the road when you get it. Just however God wants you to have it. You can't just say that's what it is. But this thing it's in the heathen, okay? He said, immediately, what did he do?
Conferred with flesh and blood.
It says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He did not consult, okay? Neither, verse 17, did I go up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. Just because they thought they had seniority, he said, I didn't go to them. But I went to Arabia. Arabia is just a desert. He went to the desert. He went out on his own. How are you going to find the truth?
Meditate and ponder.
Spend some time in the desert. That don't mean you have to find a big sandy place where there's nothing around but sand and cactuses for 1,000 miles. That's not what he's talking about. It's all symbol. It's not a beach either. It might be a beach, but it's a place where you can listen to God. It's a quiet place for you. It could be in a crowd of 1,000 people if you have the ability to shut down and listen to what God's saying. Quit hearing all that smoke screen around you.
Yeah.
If you can shut down and hear God, that's your barren place. That's your desert where you can hear him. Doesn't make any difference where you're at. And it says, he returned again to Damascus. What is Damascus?
Humility.
It's humility. It says, silent as a sackcloth weaver is the words. But that word, Damascus, represents humility. When he went back to himself, he found out how little he was and how big God is. That's where you find out who you are. You find your humility in finding how little you are in the scheme of things, but yet God loves you just as much as anybody on the face of the earth. And that'll bring you to your humility.
Well, like I said, I think I said last week when we said about being humble and knowing, just think about being able to hear
the Spirit of God.
Yes. Just like we were going past a sign the other day, and I read the sign to you and said, you know, let the Holy Spirit come.
Mm-hmm. Like you're in control.
I said, wow, how?
Arrogant.
Yeah, we're praying that the Holy Spirit come.
And he was right there among them all along. They just didn't recognize it. Sad, sad congestion in the world in religion. It's just really mess. Verse 18, it goes on and says, and then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem, the religious capital of the world, you know, to see Peter. And Peter was that Cephas, the pillar, the rock, you know.
And look at that time frame there.
Huh?
Look at the time frame.
3 years?
Yeah, from verse 17 to 18.
Yep.
3 years.
Yep, he spent 3 years out there. That could be his Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles experience. Dust, sand, and stars. So he went up and abode with him for 15 days. But other apostles saw I none, he said, except James, the Lord's brother. Now the things I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. And afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Sicily is what it should probably actually be, the land of Cilix. Okay, but what does Syria speak of? Syria speaks of exalted, prideful, arrogant. Syria speaks of duality also, and in duality, a double-minded man's what? In all the ways. He went back. He went out there and found himself in the desert, in that sand. Okay? And he came back in for his testing in amongst all the religious folk. And believe me, he got tested, didn't he? And Sicily, which is the rolls or overturns. So he went to the high place and then got rolled over. I guarantee he got thrown off the cliff. And was known And literally it should say, and I existed unknown by faith. No one knew him. That confirms where he's really at. Where's he at now?
Outside of the camp.
Well, what's Damascus?
Humility.
See, he didn't come in sending flyers out and radio broadcasts and satellite broadcasts. Hey, the great apostles coming to town. Get the red stuff ready.
He didn't succumb to that arrogance.
He was unknown. He was unknown to them.
So he went in there where Syria, where it was full of pride and arrogance.
Religious pride and arrogance.
He didn't succumb to that.
No. He was still walking in his humility. He was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, the ones which were in Christ. Even the ones which were in Christ didn't know him. But they'd heard about him. Look here at the next. But they had heard only that the one which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he ravaged. Not destroyed, but ravaged. He never destroyed the Jewish faith, did he? The religious faith, they're talking the Christ faith, how's that? He didn't destroy it, but he did give it a hard time. Do you think that was God's plan?
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul needed to go through those experiences. There's times when we will. And God never told him to go back and destroy the Jewish churches or synagogues. Hey, we're not to go out and tear down churches. God didn't tell us to. There's a purpose for each and every one of them things on this earth. All the negativity we see, he didn't say do nothing about it. I got some people that's so negative. It's people I deal with regularly. I mean, they're just so negative, it's unbelievable. And they can't see it. They think they're walking right at the foot of the cross. They think God calls them to get his schedule every morning. I mean, that's where they think they're living. I mean, they think that highly of themselves. And yet they're the most negative people, and I see them almost every morning. And they're just, boy, I mean, you just have to bite your lip and walk around and say, I need to go to the bathroom, or I need to get a refill and go dump mine out and get another one. Just something to do, you know. I needed to get the refill so I could get away from them, you know. And then sit for somebody else I can talk to. Pitiful. Okay.
Fool and everybody's money work.
Yes, they are. Verse 24 says, and they glorified God in me. Now, that's not a good word. That word glorified. Has anybody else got anything for that? That last verse 24?
Saul? Yeah.
Okay. Lois, you got anything?
NIV says, and they praise God because of me.
Yeah. No.
Observed, recognized.
Acknowledged. See? There's the thing. There's the key. Paul wrote several times, mark those who follow Christ and follow them. He said, mark me, he said, and follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what he's saying here. They acknowledged Christ in me. They're not glorifying God, but they acknowledged Christ in me. And that's the whole thing. If you can't acknowledge God in someone else, do you really think you're truly going to worship God? If I can't show you the same honor as God himself, if the way they see God is this great big old gray-haired man coming sitting down on the throne. If I can't acknowledge you as being as much of my brother as anybody on the face of the earth, or as God himself, am I really truly worshiping God? Would I be? No, I wouldn't. I have to be able to acknowledge everyone on the earth is children of God. Some obedient, some disobedient, but they're still his children. He loves them all. They have different rewards. They have different goals and purposes in life, but they're all his. He don't own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns every cow and every hill, don't he? I mean, people don't realize that it was spoken in symbolic language, and they try to make everything literal because that's where their mind is. Sorry, that's just not the truth. That's not the full picture of it. If they want to live there, that's perfectly all right with me. I'm not going to live there.
The Amplified in that says, and they glorified God as the author and source.
See, that's pretty close. A lot of extra words, but yes, it says basically the same thing. But they recognize or acknowledge that God is in you.
Right, it wasn't Paul that did it.
No, they didn't. They didn't glorify Paul. They recognized and acknowledged that God was in him doing something. Right? It's not about all those recognition points that everybody talks about. You know, look what I did. That's not what it's about. It's about how many did you help today?